My beloved, I hope you can bear with me. I'm almost 90 years of age, and I'm not a gifted speaker. I'll tell you that, and I think you know it. So I might just read some things off, and hope you can, as I said, you can bear with me. As I have been studying for a long time, I know somebody else could bring it out much more clear than I, and so I hope you can bear with me. There's one scripture that has been on my mind for a long time, and I'll share it with you, and I hope you can follow as to what the apostle here is trying to say. The first one here is in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, starting from verse 29. I'll have to put my glasses on. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none. Now that's a mystery. I wish I could understand it much better than I do. But he says, they that have wives be as though they had none, and they that weep as though they wept not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoice not, and they that buy as though they possess not. That's very awesome. As though that buy, and they that buy as though they possess not. Can you really do that? Can we buy something as though we possessed it not? Or have a wife as though we had none? I mean to tell you, I wish I could understand how the apostle really meant that. And they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away. I think I told you where I'm reading at. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. I started at verse 29. But I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried. Now listen to this. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that is married careth for the things that is of the world, how he may please his wife. There is a difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, that she may please, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. I think we shouldn't take this lightly. The Apostle Paul has something in mind, and I don't know if I'm able to understand. I'll read the next verse yet. And this I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely, and that ye may attend upon the Lord without distraction. The whole thing is, like the last verse says, that we may attend upon the Lord without distraction, without being hindered. And, oh, beloved, I wish we could understand what the apostle is saying. Now, I just wanted to read a few other scriptures about Paul the Apostle, the highly enlightened Apostle Paul. The first one I'm going to read is in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'll start at verse 8. And last of all, he was seen of me also as of one born out of due time. For I am... Now this is the apostle, the highly enlightened apostle Paul. He's saying this. For I am the least of the apostles. See, he was an apostle, and he still feels he was the least of them all. For I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But, listen, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Can we say that of a truth? Can we say that? By the grace of God, I am what I am? Oh, I wish we'd have great grace enough to do it. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly. You know, he says he was least of the apostles, and yet he labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. I mean, we should earnestly contend for the grace of God, because we're nothing. Actually, we're nothing. But by the grace of God, we can be all that is needed if we're in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now there's one similar to that I just read. It's in Ephesians chapter 3, starting at verse 8. Unto me, who am less than the least of the saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. See, that is, the mystery is Christ in us, the hope of glory. That's the mystery. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be made known to the church the manifold wisdom of God. He was speaking to the church there, but he is speaking to the church right now, to us. God help us. Now, (clears throat) I don't know where I ever got this book, but it's written by W. Ian Thomas. And I mean to tell you, I read it, I don't know how many times I read it through. It is so interesting, and it was so life-giving. And the title of the book is The Saving Life of Christ, and is in two sections, The Mystery of Godliness. Now, as I see it, the saving life of Christ actually is the mystery of godliness. That's how I see it. The saving life of Christ is the mystery of godliness. And I don't want to read much, but there's one it's on page 157, and I don't want to read much. The basis of his commitment to the Father, that's Christ to the Father, his commitment to the Father is the basis upon which the Lord Jesus Christ claims your commitment to him. Your commitment to him. You're committed to him for all that to which he is committed in you, exclusively. Now, excuse me for reading this next little paragraph. I mean, it's so needful. I wish I could learn a little more how he means this. You are not committed to a church. Listen to that. You are not committed to a church. Or to a denomination. Or to an organization. As a missionary, you are not committed to a mission board, not even to a field, and least of all are you committed to a need. Am I reading that right? And least of all, I'm not reading right. I'll start at the first again. You are not committed to a church or to a denomination or to an organization. As a missionary, you are not committed to a mission board, not even to a field. And least of all, are you committed to a need? You are committed to Christ. That's the answer. You are committed to Christ. And for all that to which Christ is committed in you, I say exclusively. I mean, it's so much said in that small paragraph, I tell you. I'm not going to read much. I wished each and every one of you could read this book. It would mean a lot more than what I, poor thing, can tell you. This was a precious brother, and I wished you could read it sometime. However, maybe you did read it, I don't know. But anyhow, I'm going to quit at that. I'll leave somebody else speak.